Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. Our guests receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. You can follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Chris and Chef Eltop that Oilers Now sent you. Roost Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. As we go to our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky, it's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we welcome back to the show the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings, Kurt Hill. Hello, Kurt. How you doing?
Doing good, Bob. How are you?
Good. A year ago, it was your team with a bunch of first-round picks and several members of Team Canada and the World Juniors heading off. Now, you had some injuries, but you had a real good year and ultimately came up short at the Memorial Cup. I might assert to you, Kurt, this year Seattle had even a deeper team, six guys from Team Canada on their team, and ultimately the Ramparts shut them down when it counted 5-0, and now no WHL team has won the Memorial Cup Championship since 2014, the Edmonton Oil Kings, the last team in the West, only one championship in the last 15 years. Should this be a concern at all for the WHL, Kurt?
You know, I think it's, again, at the end of the day for teams in our league, I mean, majority of teams in our league are trying to build their teams to win WHL championships. And, you know, we've now started to see the trend, I think, the last couple of years more, where teams are loading up to really give themselves a chance from the West to win a Memorial Cup. Now, you know, last year we did it. This year Seattle did it. We both come up short. I think Seattle gave themselves one of the best chances to do it, and they got to the final game. And, you know, in my opinion, they kind of laid an egg in the last game. They just didn't have their best game. Milich was just okay. Their big guys didn't create any offense. And, you know, credit to Quebec for what they did. But I do think that, you know, Seattle was right there, and it's just they had a bad game at a bad time.
So we've discussed this in the past, and, you know, I wasn't good enough to play in the WHL. There were 12 teams in the WHL when I was playing for the Southside Athletic Club. And to be honest with you, I wasn't close. There's 22 teams in the league now. Even I look back in 1991 because the Spokane Chiefs, that to me, that was, you know, Brian Maxwell was coaching that team. And there was a moment where they were playing Chicoutimi and they had a 5-on-5 line brawl. And the five kids from the West were all pumping the kids from Chicoutimi and Spoke had, you know, they had Whitney and Falloon and they could score. And then Kamloops won in 90, you know, Spoke won in 91. Kamloops won 92, 94, 95. Portland won in 98. In 2001, it was Red Deer. In 2002, it was Kootenay. In 2004, it was Kelowna. You know, 2007, it was Vancouver. I might have missed. And then in 2008, it was, like, the league dominated. They won 16 out of 26 championships from 83 to 2008. Do you think expansion has played a factor in why there's only been one championship? Has it weakened the depth and the talent pool in the Western Hockey League when they've expanded to 22 teams, Kurt?
I mean, it could be twofold. I mean, if you go on sheer population base, and obviously here in the West, it's the population isn't nearly what it is in Ontario. And I mean, even Quebec would be a little bit ahead in an area like, so from that aspect, I mean, the depth is certainly in the OHL. I think the depth from that perspective is probably better. You know, is our depth here with more teams? I mean, obviously, if you eliminate teams, your depth is always going to be better. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the other leagues adjusted, Bob. Like, we won 16 of 26, like you say. They adjusted to really load teams up. And I think that wasn't really the norm out here in the West to really go and make deals and load teams up. And I think this is a new age thing out here where teams are just starting to figure this out and starting to do this more now. for teams in the West to get back and compete. And, you know, I think now, you know, other than teams that have hosted it, I mean, we're seeing that the teams that host always have loaded up in certain specific years, but now you see other teams loading up or multiple teams. So I think, you know, I think we're just figuring this part out here, and there's going to be a run where some Western League teams are going to get back, and the streak's going to end here pretty soon, in my opinion.
Kurt Hill's the GM of the Edmonton Oil Kings. They won the WHL championship a year ago. You didn't have Dylan Gunther at the Memorial Cup tournament. The guy was your best goal scorer. The team came up short, but you guys weren't right for that tournament, were you?
You know, the surprising thing, and since I've been the GM here, you know, I've worried a lot more about your defense core and the stress on those guys to get through seasons and to get through a playoff run with and staying healthy. Like, that's where it seems like that's the most of the stress and the injury concern comes from, you know, even around the league from what I've seen. But yeah, it just seemed like for us, it was our forward core that got extremely banged up. And that Seattle series last year was a dogfight. And I think both teams were, you know, we laid it on the line, both of us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we were extremely, extremely banged up going to the Memorial Cup. But, you know, I give we talked about the depth, and it's funny because when we went to the Memorial Cup, our depth scored 6 of our 9 goals, our bottom 6 forwards, which, you know, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't have said that was going to happen going into the tournament. But, you know, the Tyler Horsemans, and, you know, we got a goal from Cole Miller there. Those guys showed up and played some pretty significant minutes for us and kept us in some games. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think some of our big guns were out of gas, and not having Gunther, I mean, really affected the power play. At the end of the day, you lose your trigger man. It just never seemed like we got that fluidity going again on the power play.
Well, you know, it's crazy, Kurt. I mean, you look at Seattle, and they had 2 games where they scored 6 goals, right? Like, they beat Peterborough 6-3, and Peterborough was a surprise, though they had some good players. They were surprised out of the OHL this year, but they beat Peterborough 6-3. And they beat Kamloops 6-1. And if I told you at the start of the tournament that, you know, they'd go 3-2 in the tournament, and they beat Peterborough again 4-1, that they'd only get 1 goal combined from Lambert, Gunther, and Reed Schaefer, 3 first-rounders, all played in the World Juniors. Lambert played for Finland. You would have said I was crazy, right? Like, they'd play 5 games, but they'd only get 1 goal from those 3 guys? I mean, there you go.
Well, those guys were they were really good for them throughout the entire playoff run too. And, you know, I would have been very surprised if you told me, yeah, they get 1 goal in the tournament. But I mean, credit to the other teams, you know, they had game plans to keep those guys off the score sheets. And when you get to the Memorial Cup, you know, I'm going through those rosters in the top 4D on each of those teams is extremely good. And, you know, those matchups get tougher for those guys, but you still think you get more than a goal. But the reality is it's short-term comp. If you don't get off to that, you know, if you just don't get your mojo going, it can be, the tournament just could, you get caught behind in the tournament and you just never seem to catch back up. And that could have been what happened with some of those big guns.
You know, the irony of it, Kurt, is, and I was hosting Oilers Now when Edmonton went, you know, in 2012 and 2014. Nobody thought Edmonton was going to win the Memorial Cup in 2014. Like, you guys were the favorite last year. Seattle was the favorite this year. Quebec has now won 4 consecutive tournaments, albeit over 6 years, because we didn't play for a couple of years. And you guys might have, you can educate our listeners here. Did you have a deeper team, do you think, in the 2021 Alberta bubble year than you did in 21-22?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and we've chatted about this, is that we had more of a homegrown team, in my opinion. Like, we had a group of guys that have been together. They'd been drafted together. They were all here for an extended amount of time. So I think, you know, the next year we brought in multiple guys via trade to try to, you know, load up where we had lost some of those important pieces. And then we're trying to add and add and get better and better, where that year, I mean, we made the one big trade to bring in Kate Oliver to have a number one center for Gunther Neighbors. And then we probably, in all, like, in fairness to that group, maybe you need one more forward and just 1D. We needed to add 1D to our top 4 only. And we weren't going to have to load up nearly as much, I think, to really push the year before.
We're joined by Edmonton Oil Kings General Manager Kurt Hill. So, Kurt, suffice to say, this year didn't go the direction that you wanted to go. You gave up the first rounder to get Caden Gooley, who you won a WHL championship. I don't think you guys thought it was going to be a top-end pick. It ended up being a top-end pick. You ended up getting a first rounder and another deal made. You moved some of your guys. How would you assess the overall season it was for the Edmonton Oil Kings?
You know, overall, this is what I'll say. Like, early on, when Demick was injured early in the last summer, like, in a group, we had a hockey operations meeting with the coaching staff, and we calculated the plan that, okay, we just lost our 25-minute center every night. You know, Weeb was hurt. He wasn't going to start the season. We have two of our top line out. So we really made the decision as a group that we were going to calculate this, and we're going to get our assets back and more and plus. And that's really what we did. Now, in saying that, did I think it was going to be as hard as it was to go through a year like that? No, I would certainly be more prepared for that in the future. This is my first time going through that, because it's a difficult process to, you know, it's hard on your coaching staff. It's really hard on the guys in the room. And it's really hard to trade all those important players away who you have strong relationships with that helped you win. But I think, you know, as we go through this the next couple of years, and the amount of assets we have, even just the draft we had this year, you know, you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But when you're in it, you're in the middle of a 10-win season, it's harder than I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
All right. You did make a couple trades to address and bring in a couple solid 20-year-old players. So let's start there in terms of the impact of adding Litke and Lajoie.
Yeah, well, certainly Mark Lajoie is, in my opinion, one of the premier defensemen that was available this year. Like, to add as a 20-year-old, if not the best, that was even going to be available in the market. So, you know, he's a guy that's played over 250 games in the league as a captain. You know, and with him, the biggest upside is just the experience with how young our decor is going to be. And he can play on the power play, can kill penalties. You know, he's just going to be that solid guy that can play 25-plus a night and really give us that leadership in the room. And then on the Litke front, you know, he's kind of one of those forwards that we've tried to target in the past when it was Sawchuk or Cade Oliver. And, you know, maybe somebody who's been caught behind the forward group on some teams that are quite deep. And, you know, Portland's done a great job with recruiting American players and having a pretty deep forward group. And, you know, Litke is, he's got a great shot. He's got great offensive instincts. And we just feel there's a lot more there with this player offensively. And we certainly need to address scoring goals next season. We thought he'd be a great player to complement a guy like Hodnett, who's a pure passer and has some finish as well.
Now, you mentioned Colby Miller before. He had a real good Memorial Cup a year ago. He is draft eligible this year. Are he and Kowalik the maybe your most likely guys that might potentially get drafted?
Yeah, well, certainly Miller's got, you know, there's lots of teams asking questions on him and Kowalik, like you said. I think, you know, if I'm the guy that I would say most NHL teams ask questions about is Port, Wojtek. I would say he would be the guy that, you know, from the masses of NHL teams, which, you know, if you're asking about all of them, the majority of teams are asking questions on him. So, and he had a terrific campaign once we got him from Red Deer. Unfortunately, had the injury to end the season in February, but he was, I mean, that really hurt us once he went down. But yeah, he's a player with a ton of upside, and I think a lot of NHL teams see that.
All right. Vern Fiddler is well-known here in the marketplace. His son was drafted. Where'd you guys end up taking him in the U.S. draft?
He was first overall.
Okay, and he is committed to you, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so is he expected to be on the team this season?
He will be on the team this season, yeah. He was, just because he's a U.S. player, like we had signed him previous to last season, but they're not allowed to play at 15 if they're from the U.S. So he would have played games for us last season, but this with how the rules work, he's not eligible to, but he'll be 16 on our team this year, yes.
Okay, well, so what transpired? What's up next for the Edmonton Oil Kings, Kurt?
You know, I think a lot of attention right now is probably gearing towards the CHL import draft, you know, and even just accumulating our list for training camp. I think there's an opportunity to create a lot of really good competition here with our group and bring some free agents to training camp. And
where do you draft in the import draft?
The import draft, we pick third overall, so very important pick for us.
Okay, and how much consultation takes place potentially with agents and also guys that maybe have been drafted? Are we talking guys that could theoretically be drafted in the NHL?
Yeah, depending what age you want to go with, but yeah, our import draft's not till after the NHL draft, so there'll be some guys that are picked probably, you know, in that NHL draft and selected in our draft a few days later.
So obviously you got Port as one of your guys, and then you've got a spot for another.
Yeah, we talked to Luke DeHoff at the end of the season and told him we would be trying to find him a new home. And just, you know, nothing against Luca. We would have brought him back. But when you're picking third overall, it's the opportunity to really try to knock one out of the park, which we're going to try to do here.
Great stuff. Kurt, thanks for the update.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Kurt Hill. He's the general manager of the Edmonton Oil Kings. He joined us on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. You can donate your way in for as little as $10 to the Wildfire Benefit Concert with Honeymoon Suite. It takes place Friday, July 14th. 100% of the funds benefit the Red Cross Alberta Wildlife Relief. Visit RiverCreeResort.com for more information. Again, you can donate your way in for as little as $10 to the Wildfire Benefit Concert with Honeymoon Suite. Visit RiverCreeResort.com for more information. 150 in Edmonton, this is Oilers Now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Had the Texan last night in the humble Stauffer Bowl in the city south side from Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Get their new boneless wings for $13.95 or $16 for $25.95. You can visit royalpizza.ca. I'm also a big fan of the Mediterranean chicken. Royal Pizza, Edmonton owned and operated for 50-plus years, 14 locations in the Edmonton region. Let's go to List Dan Oilers history for New West Travel, serving travelers since 1979. Book your vacation today at newwesttravel.com. Here's Brendan.
2008, the Oilers trade their third rounder from 2005, Danny Civret, to the Flyers for Ryan Patalny. Patalny played 72 games for the Oilers over two seasons, scored 15 goals, 20 assists, left for Chicago as a free agent before the 2010-2011 season.
And you almost heard me drop a something bomb on the air during the break because there was a player that a smaller bit piece that I was hoping Edmonton might be able to gather from Philadelphia. It ain't going to come to fruition. The Kings got him. Here is the trade in its entirety. Philadelphia trades Ivan Provorov and Hayden Hodgson. We talked about Hayden Hodgson in the past. He was on an AHL deal. He was getting some interest around the league. He played with Connor McDavid in Erie. Philadelphia trades Ivan Provorov and Hayden Hodgson to L.A. in exchange for Cal Peterson, Sean Walker, Helge Granz, and a second-round pick from the Kings. Columbus acquires Kevin Connaughton from Philadelphia in exchange for a 2023 first-round pick, 22nd overall, and a conditional second-round pick in either 04 or 05. And then Columbus acquires Provorov, Ivan Provorov from L.A., in exchange for Connaughton. So basically, what does that mean? The Kings, Philadelphia ends up getting, Basically, Columbus acquires Provorov as part of a three-team trade, and the LA Kings in exchange for a first-round pick in 2023 and a conditional second-round pick in either 2024 or 2025. Philadelphia, interesting trade when it's all shaken. Anyways, Hayden Hodgson is a hard nose. He's a fighter. He's a lefty, and he scored like 19 goals last year in the American League. And he's on a one way next year. So Connaughton, if I'm reading this right, Connaughton and Hodgson go to the LA Kings organization, and then they eat a bunch of the salary on Provorov, and LA dumps. Ends up dumping both Walker and Peterson to the Flyers, and the Flyers get a first-rounder and a second-rounder in the trade. There you have it. That's the deal. Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports Tonight. What's he got shaking?
He certainly does. You'll hear from former Edmonton football team defensive back, 1993 Grey Cup champion, Trent Brown. How about that, Bob? And the Elks this week makes its return to the airwaves. Morley Scott joined by Elks head coach Chris Jones and Elks color analyst Dave Campbell here on 630 Chat.
There you go. Wow. Crazy stuff. I'm just looking at this trade. It's interesting. You started with a tragically hip and you ended with it. Well done, Brendan. We'll be back tomorrow. Guests will include, for Wow Factor Desserts, Brian Lawton, Mark Spector, David Staples. Up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Randy Kilburn, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3. Chelsea on Ched with Chelsea Bird, 3 to 6. Back at you tomorrow. Have a terrific Tuesday, everybody.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.